Hoi there, Ome, and welcome back for another episode of the Hard Knock Sorority, a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play. GM'd by myself, Paul, and played by Veronica as Cecile, aka College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, aka Boxer, Beth as Grace, aka Nightingale, and Dex as Grim, the Rigger. This is episode 18 of Season 2. Realizing that they've been made, the team throws subtlety to the wind, in this case the wolves, and goes in. Ollie shoots things. Deandra uses spy gear. Cecile can't decide what she's doing. She runs, negotiates, runs, and hides, and runs. Grimm's drones exchange fire with the target's drones and come out on top. And Nightingale? Well, who knew the pony liked to kick puppies? It's a little disturbing. Before I cut you loose on the episode, please listen to this trailer from my friends over at Bug City Blues.
Good day, citizens of Chicago. This is Oakley Wildwood, your anchor at Gold Leaf News Network, bringing you the latest developments from the heart of the UCAS. And now for the news. The Chicago Containment Zone is witnessing a surge in kidnappings that has left the city on edge. Travel in groups for safety, folks. A good crew could be what gives you the edge to make it to your next paycheck. The streets are witnessing a spike in vehicle thefts and carjackings, leaving everything from jackrabbits to delivery trucks as smoldering, bullet-ridden scrap heaps. Lone Star PD advises secure private parking whenever possible. But in Chicago, even the safest of places can become a battleground. On a more hopeful note, the ghoul communities of Cabrini Green are uniting, driven by a hunger for justice. Vigilantes targeting infected citizens have been escalating tensions, promising violence if they do not leave the city. Those sympathetic to the ghoul cause have offered support by providing donations and offering security, though officials assure that they seek a non-violent resolution to the conflict. There's a lot going on in 2080s Chicago. Stay informed, stay safe, and stay with us by tuning in to Bug City Blues, a Shadowrun 6th World Edition actual play podcast, wherever fine podcasts are found. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
They see it.
Boxer sees it.
I think the only reason is to get further into the house, like, because I assume they're using outside drones because there's nothing inside.
All right, where are you going?
I guess the route that we planned before in, and then to that room.
All right, so you go through the house. Nothing untoward happens. You see the cameras. The lights are on. You're able to even switch on the lights if you wanted to in this room. You see that the where Grace is indicating that the door must have been, you see that there's a large piece of machinery sitting on what appears to be a steel plate in the this appears to be some kind of a storage.
How large is this piece of machinery? Is it like a ton?
It's like a large air conditioner.
I assume they don't slide it out of the way every time when I go down. So there's probably a hidden switch in the room.
Yeah, so you can do a perception check plus 2. Boxer finds it pretty much immediately. It's sort of obvious once you find it that the
the switch on the side of this electrical device, this piece of machinery, actually controls the door. And as Boxer activates it, it sort of hisses upwards into the side with a hydraulic sound, revealing a set of stairs going downwards. The team on the outside, the drones are approaching you. You also see that you hear, Cecile hears, and Grace hears.
You wouldn't be able to hear it. Wait.
No, she's astral.
Yeah.
But she's manifested.
So she can hear people speak and like engage with them socially. I don't think that she's literally hearing physical sound wave. It's more like manifesting creates a psychic connection in which she can have a conversation.
In this case, Cecile hears it, and maybe Boxer and Deander hear it with a perception check. Cecile definitely hears the howling of hellhounds, and Grim sees the door to the garage open.
My desire to leave the van is plummeting.
Reasonable, fair. Grim, your feed from your drone shows you that these drones look like they are headed for the van.
For the van?
Yep. There are two of them, and they're two different models of drone. Both of them seem to be equipped with what looks like some kind of light or medium machine gun. I'm telling you this just so that you can be aware that very shortly initiative, if you wanted to prepare anything. I mean, you do have several seconds as you see the approach vector of the drones and recognize it for what it is, in which you could do something if you wanted to. Cecile could too, and in the house, Deander and Boxer both hear. Outside, you hear the howling of hellhounds. You hear the hounds howling. The door is slid open, and you're seeing these stairs going down into a well-lit, highly modern tunnel.
I think the second Deander can slip into the tunnel, she's just going.
All right. In that case, we need to roll initiative, because the minute you jump down or slide down into the tunnel, you come face to face with a
tunnel.
I warned you.
I know. I think it's funny.
It is funny, but you are going to die.
Boxer has not jumped down. She heard the howls and she figures that she'd best watch their backs.
All right. So you're on the stairs. How about that?
Sounds good.
And I am going to drop this token down here as a placeholder for the turret.
Deander is going to die right here, right now.
It's nice knowing you.
I mean, Grace. Is Grace then?
Hmm?
She follow. Grace follow her down?
Yeah, but she can't do
it. You can cast physical stuff.
No.
Oh.
She's astral.
I thought astral or projecting people could cast spells.
No, she can only cast mana spells on things that are on the astral. The turret is not on the astral.
Darn.
Let's have Boxer roll initiative. Let's have everybody roll initiative in any case. Since other things are starting to happen.
Maybe she shouldn't have rushed as much as we...
All right, so... Grim, you have three passes, right? Jumped into your drones.
Yep.
Whoever the rigger is, or those drones, if they're using autosofts, have three passes. Deander, how many passes do you have?
I have three total.
And Boxer, do you have three as well?
Yes.
Okay. And Cecile, you've got one pass, right? Unless you're... Yeah.
Yep.
And the Hellhounds have one pass. Grace... Are you saying you're not going to bother rolling?
I mean, she can attack the Hellhound in the Astral.
They are dual-natured. So if you wanted to go out at this point and potentially engage the Hellhounds in combat, they're dual-natured. I wonder, you know what? I don't think they have an
so they
Astral
would be,
attack. Them, so I'm not sure if
they can just use regular attacks, and it affects creatures on the Astral.
This is true, but also they would have less passes and less initiative because
they're just in the physical.
Held back by their physical. So I'm pretty sure I get three passes, and I presume they only get one. So I'd basically be able to like make them burn their first turn, like freaking out on me, and then spend my next two turns just zapping them.
Okay.
So let me get this straight. She just dropped down. She tells me. Does she inform us that there's a turret down?
Did Deander say that there was a turret or anything?
I think Deander is going to be surprised by the turret and is going to yell. I'm debating if I'm going to say the word, the Inspirathiel part.
All right, so let's have Boxer go first. boxer, Diandir, jumps out, jumps down, and yells. Surprise, shock, whatever, alarm. Obviously not a friendly, come on down, yell.
Did Grace tell her what she was going to?
I'm imagining, like, she may have done it so quickly. It may have just been, like, a quick, something's wrong, and then she was just unmanifested. And or she, like, zipped into the tunnel when she said that, and probably unmanifested. She doesn't know exactly what the issue is, but she knows that Diandir is in distress, and are there hailhounds immediately present in this tunnel here, or no?
No. No, if you wanted to go engage the hellhounds, you'd have to leave, go back out of the house.
Well, did they mention the hellhounds, or does she just not know?
No, you... Actually, you wouldn't know because you don't hear them yelling. You don't hear them howling outside.
They'd be audible in the astral?
Actually, wait.
If they're dual natured, maybe they are. Maybe you do hear them in the astral. I sort of like that interpretation.
Well, I was going to ask if you think that dual natured creatures would be audible on the astral whenever they like howl, for example.
I don't know if there's sound astral per se.
Well, everything can be dual nature, like dual nature light.
There isn't sound. So like somebody speaking purely who's not dual natured, who's speaking in the physical, you're not hearing them. You know, there's no airwaves hitting an eardrum, but
you're
capable
seeing of
something.
Communicating when you're manifested anyway.
If they were howling in the astral, the only thing I can imagine that be is it would be the equivalent of like a psychic shriek, and that feels a little too badass for a hellhound.
That's sort of how I'm interpreting it, though. I think being dual natured, they, when they're howling, you can hear them. And this isn't like their magical fear attack. This is just them communicating to each other. So I can imagine them communicating to each other that way, crossing the astral.
Yeah, I
although, think... Although they're only... No, I like that idea. I like that interpretation.
Whenever it's obvious that she can't really do anything down here, I think she's going to zip back up, probably pass by Boxer, and say, I'm going to go deal with the dogs. And then she's gone back to this to go do exactly that.
All right. Now let's go by turn order. So now, Boxer, what are you...
She jumps down.
You jump down, and what do you... You jump down, you see that you're on the stairs with Diandir. There's a turret tracking towards you with a machine gun on. You're in a fairly brightly lit hallway. Looks like glass steel walls and floor. Very similar to bunkers and underground military installations you've seen.
What kind of action did it take to go down? Was it just a free action?
It was your movement action.
Is that distinct from those?
Yeah, you still have your actions.
She uses her free action to take aim at the turret. That's something that comes with cracking. And uses a complex action to...
Take aim is actually a simple action.
Kragmava makes it a free action.
Ah, okay, cool.
And takes a complex action to just pour lead into it.
All right. So is that a full auto?
Yes.
So a long burst?
Yes.
All right. So you don't have any, just looking up any kind of modifiers or no visibility modifiers. There's no condition monitors. And you are at short range. So you don't really have any negative modifiers here. So let's take a quick look at this. So burst fire. So full auto burst is 10 rounds as a complex action. You have the choice of a narrow long burst, which adds 5 to the damage value. You have the option of going with a wide long burst, which subtracts 5 from the dice pool for the defender. Or you have narrow full burst that does +9 damage, and wide full burst that does -9 for the defender. So I guess the next thing that you have to look at if you want to choose one of those is what your recoil modifier is. So a long burst, or rather a full auto burst, is -9 recoil. That's a
so
lot of recoil.
Yeah. The last shot...
Is the turret going to dodge?
It's definitely not going to dodge. So, you know, what gear do you, what attachments do you have on your weapon for recoil modification?
A gas vent, a shock pad, a stock, folding stock, and a foregrip. And I think it comes with inherent intrinsic recoil mitigation.
Total of 8. So you could pretty much mitigate that entire recoil value for the burst. So it's basically your choice of whether you want to do whether you want to increase the damage value or the dice pool for the defense.
Damage value. There was the automatic and the full burst, and there is sort of 5 and 9 respectively.
Yep.
I guess I'll take the full burst then.
Okay. So you got, did you roll with your the -1 modifier?
There's a -1. Recoil? Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, why don't you just roll another one with the -1 modifier? There we go, 5. And so Kurt is gonna go deep, is gonna defend against that. They don't have a defense test. What's the damage value of the weapon?
By itself it's 6, but combining the hits and the burst damage, it comes out to 20.
All right. Yeah. What weapon are you firing?
Ares Alpha.
All right. So describe how you jump down there, unleash a full auto burst on this turret, and just destroy it. What does that look like?
She jumps down where she was. Her knees, her inverted knees, bend as she lands. She is already raising her weapon, and she just holds down the trigger.
Yeah, the turret was tracking towards Deendir as this happened and just exploded in hail of gunfire. Whatever armor shielding it had sort of goes flying away from it, and sparks erupt from it. Hydraulic lines are ruptured, and the gun just sort of slumps towards the something else happening. And then, Grace, you're zipping out of the house.
I don't actually know how far I can move in a single pass in the astral.
Far enough, I'm just going to say.
Okay, the hellhound, where are they?
Grace, you see the hellhounds coming from either side of the house.
So what I wanted is that I want to distract them, and I want to go closer to them to get their attention, and then spend this pass holding the rest of my action just to weave around them and waste their time, basically, to rile them up and exhaust them to the point that they will fit targets for my next two passes.
All right, so how are you going to do that right now? What's you doing in this action? You've got a hellhound to the west and to the east of you.
Where is the car?
The car is to the southwest.
So I think she's going to try and get the one to the west and get it to follow her over to Zedrom. Try and get it to follow her to the east over to the other one. I think she'll try and, I don't know, taunt it.
All right. So it sees you already. And as soon as it sees you, as you come out through the south wall there, window there, you lock eyes with it and it immediately howls and starts running to. And you hear answering howls from the north and the east.
I'm going to try and guide it over to this then.
All right. So you start moving this direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do anything else? Because this is basically just movement as far as I'm concerned.
Can I hold an action to cast stun when one of them gets close enough? Like once they are both like around to this side of the house, cast on or knockout on one of them at a force of, I don't know what the ideal force is here. If the tremor tells me it doesn't, first divide it by 2.
All right. So Grim, at this point, it's your turn. The two drones that you were keeping an eye on with your other drone appear to be now in an attack vector on the van. How the hell are there 17 new messages? What have you guys been doing over there in Discord?
Don't worry about it.
I load up the...
Okay, so it'd be a force of 10 for knockout. Let's just hope that I don't get drained. That 2 drain.
Go ahead, Grim.
Load up the forward LABD medium-sized drone.
All right, you're jumping into it?
Yeah, and girls always go loud, don't you? And I load that up and I get it out of the van. I'm not sure how much I can do.
You have a drone rack?
Yeah.
All right, so you're able to launch that.
I'm not sure if that would take my whole turn or not, or one of my passes.
I would call actually launching that out of the jumping into it, We'll say getting out, logging out of the other drone and jumping into that drone is going to be a simple action, and ejecting it is a free action. Ejecting a smart gun clip's a free action, so I would say that's about exactly the same kind of action. So you've used a simple action and a free action to jump into the drone and eject it out of its rack. So you have another simple action.
I guess I will use a take aim at the nearest drone. Just kind of stay at the van.
So let's say at this point you're about 100 meters away.
Yep, and I am using a sniper on this.
So you probably don't have any kind of... One thing you probably do have is a visibility problem.
So I have a question. My weapon on the drone has some modifications, but the drone itself doesn't. Maybe I put the modifications in the wrong spot, I guess. It has an imaging scope. I'm not sure if that helps the situation at all. Obviously, it's not going to be able to look down the scope of...
No, you can. It probably just cancels out the modifier. I don't know what kind of a modifier the imaging scope gives you, but we can probably just say it cancels out the negative from the low light. All right. So, are you going to make an attack? We're going to call that short range at 100 meters. The sniper rifle is at short range out to 150 meters. So this is a short range attack for you.
Yeah. So at this point, I mean, I can only take aim since I've already used. I can't really take a shot.
Okay.
So I guess it's just taking aim for the next pass.
Yep. Yeah, take aim is a simple action. So you've taken aim. So in your next pass, when you fire, you'll have an additional dice for your attack.
Okay.
So at that point, both of the drones open fire on the van. Actually, one of them opens fire on the van, and one of them opens fire on your drone. All right, let's roll for the drone attacking the van first.
All right, you guys are going to help me out.
This drone is firing a burst at the van from a machine gun.
Yeah.
Two hits. And you're going to defend...
Response 5. All right. Forgot the plus 2.
All right, so roll 2 more dice.
Doesn't matter.
0 net hits in any case. So the first burst misses the van, plows up the driveway next to it. The second drone is opening fire on the drone that you just launched.
Okay.
Or 3 hits, rather. You add the 2 dice to that?
Yeah, that one has everything now.
All right, and got 1 net hit. What's the armor value on the drone?
6.
Your drone took a heavy burst of gunfire for 7 points of damage.
All right, I got to find the rules that we found for this. He has body 3.
What are you looking for?
All right, I have 9.5 total... for my condition, so... And you said it took 7?
Yep.
So I'm done. And it rounds up, right? Round up. So, yeah, I have 10. So that's 3 left.
Yeah, that was a pretty painful blow that you feel. You're jumped into the thing, so as the bullets start ripping into your drone, you're feeling it like you yourself are being hit.
All right.
All right. So that was the 2 drones. The 2 Hellhounds are now attempting to attack Grace. So if Grace wants to take her held action, now would be the time.
Yeah. She'll do exactly that, and we'll cast a stun on one of them. Knockout, I mean, at a force of 10, which that means she has to rest 2 stun. So the one that's closer to the van.
Okay. What is that resisted with?
If I recall correctly, it's body plus willpower?
Nope, just willpower.
Just willpower on itself?
It's a mana spell. Or, I guess, counterspelling, if they have that. These hellhounds.
All right. You got 2 net hits on it. What does your spell look like?
I always imagine it as this sort of like hateful, jumpy blue electricity that worms its way into the aura of the target. And physically, not on the astral, it is probably a more subtle like blue glow that seeps in underneath their fur and spreads out along the muscular groups. There and through to the rest of their body, depending upon just how powerful it is. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, this being a mana spell, the hits I got, that's plus the force for damage, right? So it's 14 damage.
You got 2 net hits?
That was drain. That was resisting drain, which I...
Oh, you didn't see my resistance roll. It got 2 hits on its resistance.
So does that mean that it does 12 damage or 2 damage?
It's the force... Plus your net hits.
Okay, So that's 12 damage. 12 stun.
All right. So the hellhound that's charging at you from the west gets the crackling blue electricity zapping through its aura, and it yelps and sort of stumbles and tumbles into a pile at your feet. The one coming at you from the north attacks you at that point. Do you think the elemental attack, its elemental weapon would work in the astral?
Well, let me look up the... I'm pretty sure physical.
Yeah, I think so too. In that case, it's just attempting to attack.
Did I end up taking damage? Nope, I did not. I guess I'll roll dodge then plus edge. Pre-edging is the best, right? Yeah, okay. So there you go. I don't take any damage. And I'm imagining it like bites her in like the foreleg, and it's like trying really hard to chew at her, but like no. It like it bit at the air and its teeth clack. Yeah. Let me post that somewhere. Its teeth clack, she jumps back, and well, in her next pass, she's going to hit it with knockout too.
All right. So at this point, we finally get to Deander's action pass.
Cecile?
Nope. Deander still hasn't gone yet.
Oops. Yep. Oh, no.
Deander is still severely wounded, by the way. I don't think anyone realized that, but...
What is she carrying wounds from?
You went to the dock.
Oh.
The explosion
this
morning.
The terrorist attack.
The terrorist attack that the docks couldn't fix. I went to the dock outside to get rid of the poison, because I assumed this job wouldn't be this dangerous. That it was just a smash and grab, not smash and fight several turrets and dogs.
Well, you and Boxer are down in that hallway.
And
the turret is a smoking wreck.
I think Deander is just gonna, like, she just is surprised for a second by the turret suddenly exploding, and then says to Boxer, I owe you one, and then runs faster to try to get to the door.
All right, you get to the door, and you see the two cameras on either side of the door looking at you, and there's a control panel by the side of the door with a big red light sort of glowing.
Ah, yes, I love this one. Let me look at my spy toys. I think a magnetic scrambler is the one that I'm going to try to use. I think, look at that. Where is it? 6R. 160. Spy game. Spy toys. I love looking at spy toys. I should have looked at this before. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to attempt to run it with my maglock passkey.
Okay.
Right, because this is a maglock, right?
It does appear to be a maglock.
My maglock passkey is reading 4. Okay, I guess we just... Maglock sequencer is something else. Make an opposed test between the passkey rating and the maglock's rating. If the passkey wins, the maglock opens. So that's it, right? So I roll against the maglock with passkey. So rating 4. Wow, that's a 1.
Safe to say, unless this thing glitches and it didn't, you're not getting through there on this turn.
I think I'm going to spend my edge to reroll.
Okay. So is that a total of 3?
So.
You did not make a dent in it.
Oh, okay. Unless Boxer has a better idea, we're swiping the maglock pesky until it opens.
It's Cecile's turn.
She doesn't, but for the record, her solution is explosives.
Yeah.
Which I have a bunch of.
Is there gunfire going off around me?
There sure is. One of the drones let off a long burst of gunfire at the vehicle you're in itself, but missed, so all around the vehicle, turf and pavement were exploding, and then there was gunfire at one of Grimm's drones that he had just launched. You can hear the impact of the bullets.
How far away am I from the window they used to get in?
About almost 200 meters.
Okay, so that's a few combat turns.
Yeah, and from the feed from Grimm's flying eye, you can see that there is at least one hellhound still standing near that window.
Okay, so I'm in the van. Can I, like, peer out the van and can I see a hellhound?
You can peer out of the van. The hellhound's about 200 meters away and it's dark, so you're gonna have some significant modifiers if you attack it.
Yeah, that sounds like it would suck. Darkness is what, -6? Or is it just...
We're gonna call it partial, so it's -2.
-2 doesn't seem that bad. Has it been damaged at all?
The Hellhound?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, not
you
at
can't
all.
Really, you can't really tell, no. But no, it hasn't.
Okay, I'm going to cast Stunbolt at Force 6 at the Hellhound.
Line of sight, right? So you can see it.
Yep. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That's improper. Ignore. One hit, drain chain.
Resisted wow. by...
Oh, willpower. Just willpower. One times.
And well, it got one hit.
Now Cecile has a headache. Can I just close the door and go back in the van?
I just go back from whence I came.
Boxer, what are you doing?
She is watching Deandra's back, basically. Letting her take point and making sure no hellhounds or God knows what else follows her down, followed them down.
Okay, at that point, a voice comes out of the speaker next to the door. Where the frag are you guys? Did Diana send you?
Deandra responds in Sporethiel.
Big flippin' English. God damn it.
She says no in English and responds and says something again in Sporethiel.
You just need to back off. My drones are going to be down here any minute now.
I've got the drones for them too.
I have other contacts. I've called in help. Frag off.
You guys did put up the jammer, right?
I don't know. That was Boxer's job.
Boxer did not put up the jammer.
Well.
Frag off or your friends in the van are going to get it.
I think Deandra says in English, they know what they got into, and then proceeds to continue ranting in Sporethiel.
I just gotta know, is this pass? Is this still pass one?
This is the second pass.
Okay.
Didn't I summon a spirit for this?
You didn't.
I think you attempted to.
All right. So that was that turn, and then it is Grace's turn again. So Grace, what are you doing at this point?
That is an excellent question, my friend. I suppose what I'd do is that I'd like reach out with my four hoofs, pinch the bridge of the hellhound snout, and then zap it with knockout. I'd be like, bad boy! Just fucking smush its snoot.
Okay, hit it.
So it has to resist 12 damage.
All right, I am going to rule that it, and it got zero hits, so yeah.
It just...
Grace saps another hellhound into non-existence.
Well, she's not killing them. She's just putting them to sleep, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think at that point, she's going to maneuver to go and see if there's any, like, any other doggies that she needs to put to sleep.
Yeah, you see them coming around the corner from the west.
She's going to move in. I imagine at first, like, trying to grab their attention, and then, like, she's gonna realize probably that they're not too focused on the astral thing floating in, are they? They know where they're going, right?
It seems like they are coming in your direction. Like, the howl from the two that you just took out communicated to them the direction.
Okay. Well, I'm imagining Grace, like, comes zipping over. They see her. She thinks for just a second while hovering in midair, her legs hanging under, slightly tucked, and then she decides to go and do a knockout run on one of them. And by that, I mean she's going to go fly down by them and like grace one with a hoop, and then cast the spell and then fly past them.
All right, how many spells can you cast in a turn?
That's a great question. I was under the impression that it's linked only to actions, nothing else.
Yeah, so I think you can only do one, right?
Well, since you're asking, you can cast multiple spells at once. However, you take a plus one drain penalty every time you cast multiple spells in one action.
It's not...
Casting a spell is a complex action, and in order to cast multiple spells in a single action, you split your dice between the spells you're casting, and for each subsequent spell after the first, it has plus one.
But that's in an action. We already did a pass, right? It's the next pass, right? Question?
In the next, well, yeah, but you took out the second dog in this pass.
So there's one pass left.
Yeah, so we're not there yet.
Okay, so she would just go and be at that point where she's like hovering in the air looking at them.
Just your movement at this
point. Yeah.
And so, Grim, we get to you. You've got your take aim action drone.
Yep.
At this point, you can fire at the other drone if you return fire.
There it is.
8 points. And what's the, that's a single shot?
Yes.
And what's the AP and damage value?
Let me pull it up. AP is -2, damage value 7,
You do 15 damage and blow that drone right out of the sky.
Yeah, I've been focusing on the target, and I just send one shot straight down the middle of it.
Basically, its rotor just goes flying right off of the drone, and the body falls down to the ground.
And if it's possible, I can fire another round without taking aim, right? Right at the second one?
No, because that was a complex action.
It was a complex action to fire a weapon?
Yeah, fire a mounted or a vehicle weapon is a complex action.
Okay. Even if I'm linked in? All right.
You do get three passes.
You can do something else. I mean, you can take any kind of a free action if you wanted to, though I don't know. You can move your drone, or, I mean, there's no need to. Obviously, it's got a sniper rifle on it. Everything's in short range right from where you're at.
Is the one that I took out the one that actually landed shots on?
Yes. Game mechanically, at this point, it doesn't make a difference because they're all in the same kind of range.
Okay. I wasn't sure if the tree situation was actually causing issues or if they're way above them.
They're above.
Okay. If I'm able to drop the drone behind the van and then my next pass move it back up to take another shot, or is that just too much?
No, that's perfectly fine.
I'll do that then, just because that was a lot of damage that I took that last round.
You dodge down behind the drone, and that's really what it feels like to you since you're jacked into this thing. It feels like you're dodging and taking cover behind the van. And then the second drone, the one that's still there, opens fire on the van again with a second burst, and you wonder whether that was such a great idea.
Wait, is the van taking fire?
The van is once again taking fire.
That doesn't hit me, right?
We'll find out.
Oh, no.
Okay, so the drone is attacking the van, and it is firing a full auto burst. Narrow long burst, rolling its dice, and it got two net hits.
My range defense is two hits.
And so once again, the drone targeting the van manages not to hit the side of the barn and instead blows huge holes into the roof all around it. Steele, how are you feeling about this?
Pretty terrible.
There appears to be heavy weapons fire going on right outside of the van.
Okay. Can I go prone?
Sure. But, we're actually gonna skip to, D&D.
Yeah, real Shadowrunner.
D&D is debating swiping a card again. I think that's using an item, so it's a...
Have you tried calling tech support?
I would, except tech support can't find this node.
Can we keep... Ha ha ha, nice dig. Okay. But can you, every time you use this, are we having to use the number of dice? Going to be like an extended test, or can you only roll once on this? I'm curious about that. The voice coming out of the speaker is sounding a little bit more desperate, and he says, if Diana sent you, I can pay you more, I promise.
Yeah, it just says, make an opposed test between a pass key
right.
And the max.
Let's do it again then.
All it says.
Fair enough.
Yeah, GM Fiat.
Three, again.
Get a green light on the door all of a sudden.
D&D, like, holsters the,
All right, make one more test, though.
Make one more test?
Yeah, because he's on the inside trying to override your...
Oh, fun. Just the maglock, I guess?
Yep. All right, the light turns green and then instantly goes red again. He says, frag off! I'm telling you, I can pay you more, whatever you want!
D&D goes back into English one more time for, I don't take money from humanist scum.
What the frag are you talking about? I thought Diana sent you. You're working for humanist scum.
D&D goes back to yelling in Sprathiel.
All right, what is Boxer doing? Oh, sorry, what's Cecile doing?
Cecile has decided she doesn't want to be in this van anymore. She's running towards the house.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. All right, Cecile, you open, you slide the van door open and start running. How far can you run in?
I don't remember how far, but it's the standard amount.
The van here is sort of not in the right location, so you've got to cross almost 200 meters to get there.
We're like a football field away.
I make it 25 meters. I'm not going to bother rolling because I'll just get a zero.
So you get out and you start running. Are you doing anything else?
Is there still a hellhound?
There are actually several hellhounds.
You know, I think I don't want to be on the ground. Yeah, I'm going to cast Levitate on myself. Or... Five, sure. Hold on. Okay. So that would be, I can travel 20 meters via levitate.
Okay.
You take more stun. Great. Her headache has gone from mediocre to severe.
And roll perception.
Perception? Great. No.
Yeah, it's dark. You're scared. You're moving and you're doing something that you don't really want to do. So you're not really seeing everything that's going on around you.
Herself up. She doesn't want to be in attack range of the hellhounds.
Then it is Boxer.
Right, Deandre, do you have this handled?
No. And then Deandre, I guess doesn't step away.
Boxer, you are in AR and you are connected to the team's group network. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so, Cecile, you've heard this voice coming out of the speaker.
Oh.
I mean, not you've heard it, but you're hearing it. I'm curious whether what they're saying is triggering any response or reaction or knowledge.
If, can I coach Boxer on what to say? Or can I just tell Boxer to put me through?
Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
And she's basically, Boxer, put me through!
All right. She does.
Screaming. Hello, person. Could you not fire at us?
Why wouldn't I fire at you?
We weren't hired by Diane.
You weren't hired by Dan. Who were you hired by? And what are you after?
We don't have anything of value. We don't know, actually.
Well, frag. What kind of crazy operation is this?
I'm asking myself the same question.
Explain yourself.
Could you not shoot at me first?
I've called for backup. Unless I hear a good explanation, they're going to come in hot.
I need 5 seconds to think.
All right, so Deandre, are you going to try? Well, no.
Okay, we were hired to pick up a file from this location. We were told it was owned by a Humanist member.
The guy who owns this place, his name is Charles Lee, a.k.a. Jaden Price.
We were told that Jaden Price / Charles Lee lives here, former security consultant.
Brag. Hang on a sec. Let me think. I won't shoot if you don't shoot.
I didn't bring a gun.
Well, your friends outside this door sure did. He goes silent for Grace. What do you want to do?
I'm kicking more puppies.
Dang it, Grace. Don't go kicking puppies.
She's going to do a knockout run on one of them, as I describe. Almost like an eagle, except she's not picking it up. She just puts it by tapping in the shoulder.
Give the doggy a tap.
I find the fact that they can't do anything about this hilarious, but also concerning.
Yeah, I mean, they can. It's not a lot.
So it has to resist 12.
Zero hits. It's just that they're not rolling very well. So you take another one out.
I'm imagining they're probably screaming at this point. Not screaming, but they probably do not sound very confident or safe.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're doing overflow damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes down in a ball of electric lightning. And at that point, it's Grimm's turn.
I take aim and is there any way that I can hold a shot?
Yes.
In case something goes awry?
Yep.
Is that a simple action to hold?
No, that's just a free action. You can just say you're holding your action.
All right. Then yeah, I do that at the drone.
Okay.
So I guess I'm peeked out enough just so I can have line of sight for that drone.
And then the two hellhounds are going to attack Grace.
She'd be out of their reach unless they have some kind of mana range spell.
Oh, right, because she can get up out of...
Mm-hmm. When she did.
All right, so they're basically underneath of you trying to jump up and tag you as you're flying around up.
Oh, my God.
Sort of snapping at you, trying to reach. And then after the hellhounds, it's Deander's turn again.
Deander turns to Boxer and, confident in Boxer's breathial abilities, asks her something that's breathial.
Yeah, because she does keep answering you.
This is going to be the one time it doesn't work. It was not.
Oh. Okay.
Deander is asking you if I should just try and let this play out.
The role carries over for speaking as breathial, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Try to get them to call the people off, and then we'll see.
I think Deander's going to pull out the passkey again and kind of hold back up just a bit, make sure she's clear out of breaching grenade lane range if Boxer decides to go for that.
Maybe don't do that.
There's virtually nothing in this hallway out of grenade range. A grenade goes off in here, it's a...
Quick question. Are we using chunky salsa rules or
This hallway would be a chunky salsa situation.
Boxer pointedly lets her rifle hang on its sling, hands away from it.
Okay.
Deander wasn't holding a weapon to start with, so she's just like there. I guess her shock frills are active.
So
they're kind
so
of
she's like holding her action too?
Yeah.
What does Cecile do at this point?
Cower?
Cower in the sky?
She can't do it very effectively.
You do notice what appears to be an enemy drone now, pointing its guns in the general direction of you and the van.
Well, I'm 25 meters away from the van.
Yeah, and it's dark. You know it's pointing at you in some general
way. Oh, no.
At that point, the voice comes back over the intercom and is transmitted to Cecile, and the voice says, "If you're not working for Diana, then you're not here to kill me, right?"
Why would I want to kill you?
Well, like I said, if you were working for Diana, that's the probable outcome.
Wait, Diana Petrov?
Yeah, of course, Diana Petrov. Who else?
I don't know. Do you know how many Dianas there are in Seattle?
I don't care how many Dianas there are in Seattle. I only care about the one Diana.
Look, Diana's husband fucked me over, okay?
All right, well, I do have a file on her and her husband. And I'm guessing that's what you're after. If I give it to you, what are you going to do with it?
Probably give it to my friend who asked for it.
Who's that?
None of your business.
Yeah, look, I can pay you. Just please don't shoot.
All right, well, here, I'm going to give you the file. This is what I'm thinking. I give you the file. You guys use it against Diana. File, the contents of the file goes public. Diana has no more reason to come after me.
Sure, that sounds lovely. I could make things very public.
Brag, I'm gonna regret this, but...
Listen, just tell me your name, and I can probably get people out here to help protect you, probably?
I'm not gonna wait around for that.
Sounds good, great.
Have one of your friends in here slot a cred stick into that card reader by the door.
Deandre kind of does a double take at Boxer, and then just sighs and pulls him.
Alright, you slot the cred stick. You see some data being transferred onto your cred stick. And then the voice comes to the speaker and says, "That's the file. That's what they're after. Now, frag off."
Deandera stows the file and then spits on the ground and turns around and walks away.
Cecile's just floating in a different direction.
The hellhounds are still trying to attack Grace. The other drones are just watching the van.
She's going to more puppy care, which, with how things have been working out, I think it's fair to say that it picks them all out.
They're not able to get at you. You can basically swing down and boop them one after another.
Yeah, and then over the next few minutes, she's going to...
Meanwhile, in the tunnel, you guys hear the voice saying, "Stop kicking my dogs!"
Who are you, the ATF? I don't imagine he knows what the fuck is going on. It's like they're freaking the fuck out and then passing out.
Also, the ATF probably doesn't exist anymore.
It's like they're fainting. No, it does. We're still in UCAS.
So, Deander and Boxer are still in the hallway. Grace is messing with the dogs. Cecile's hovering some distance away from the van. Grim, you've got your drone up. Basically, you're in a Mexican standoff with the other drone.
Oh, no, Cecile isn't hovering nearby. She's running away, except fly.
Deandre is walking out of the building.
And at that point, you get a notification from your flying, your eye drone that there is, in sensor range somewhere, it's notifying you that there is incoming.
We need to get out of here. We are done. Please.
Cecile, you see a low-flying aircraft heading in your direction. It's still some ways out. It doesn't have any running lights, and it's blacked out, but you caught a glimpse of it against the sky as it's coming in.
Oh, that's bad. Okay.
You're going to tell the rest of the team about it?
Of course I'm going to tell the rest of the team. I'm just deciding whether or not to keep flying or to hide. Hiding seems a preferable alternative.
If I can put the drone away, I definitely pick everyone up.
If we're done with combat, it's point to wipe away her astral leavings on the dogs, which will take like a few.
Okay. You start erasing your astral signs. Deandre and Boxer climb out of the house and head back to the van, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Can Cecile hide under a rock or something?
You can hide in the trees in the forest somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So Cecile dodges down out of the sky, finds cover in a wood line somewhere, probably at this point about 100, 120 meters away. Grim, your drone, your damaged drone manages to find its home back in the drone rack. And I take it you're probably retrieving the flying eye.
Yeah, I'm trying to get everyone else as well. Yeah, but the flying eye too. I'd hope that everybody is meeting me halfway.
Yep, you see the rest of the party. You don't know where Cecile went. She's disappeared.
That would take less than a minute to clear all of the...
I should also say Cecile's going to completely turn off her comlink too. She's just going radio silent.
Yeah, so Cecile's gone completely off the network at this point.
She's dead.
She's dead.
I don't know how she died, but she's dead. Maybe she fainted and fell out of the sky.
Without her.
All right, so describe to me what you guys are doing now.
Deirdre is basically going to clamber back out of the house and get to the van. Once she's out of the little hallway, it's as fast as possible from that point on.
As you get out of the house and start running, you see hellhounds lying all around. You see hellhounds lying around. As you get closer to the van, you and Boxer both see a smoking wreck of a drone lying on the ground. And it appears that there was an exchange of gunfire. You can see the signs of automatic gunfire having missed the van.
Shit, I should have been out here.
Inside the van, you see Grim slumped in his chair, obviously still jacked in, but there's no sign of. And then Grace, you're done cleaning up your astral signature, and I take it you. What are you doing after you clean up your astral signature?
I think when she's done, she's probably going to go back to her body. Though, would the levitation spell leave like a snail's trail in astral? I don't know if that's exactly how it works, or if the astral signature is only mounted on things was casted on.
There is some debate about this.
I can't see it, so that means no one can. Sorry, I knew the rules.
There is some debate about this in the rule about the rules. Yes.
At what point did Cecile just like go and float off to be among the trees?
Basically, as soon as she stopped talking to the guy.
Can I roll perception to see if I even noticed that she was in the air?
Astral tracking. Nearly all magical things, spirit spells, foci, and magical lodges have an astral link to something. Active spells are linked to casters, spirits are linked to masters, astrally projecting magicians are linked to the physical bodies, and foci... Oh, wait, I'm mistaking this. This isn't astral tracking. Awakened entities who are aware of these links can follow them and track them through the plane, but you're not astral. You're not astral, so I'm not exactly sure whether you could be tracked. You could track her.
Because the spell is linked to her body. Fuck it. She can just be in the tree.
So you return to your body in the van. Now you guys have all realized that Cecile isn't there.
I think Deandre just sticks her head out of the van door and is like, Cecile, get back here. Just literally yelling.
Do I need to make a perception test? Like a fucking dog.
Grim, you can...
No dark vision.
Yeah, you don't have any dark vision. Just roll your edge attribute. I'll say that your flying eye sort of did manage to track the general direction that Cecile floated off in.
I pulled the van right up in that direction.
Dean Dare's probably still yelling out the door at her. Like, get back here. We're going to leave without you.
I mean, they were only like 25 meters away, and then they just kind of floated away.
Oh, well, yeah, she floated away at 20 meters per 3 seconds.
Yes, she got about a good 120, 150 meters away.
If you straight lined it, though, then I would have seen this initial.
Yeah, you saw the direction that they went.
That's where I hit. I mean, okay, in reality, how much time do we have until flying gets to us?
No time at all.
Oh, great.
You know what? Just go without me. Cecile's hiding in the trees. Although that might be a bad idea, depending on if it has thermal. Paul, do I know that if I didn't get in the van?
You know that this is probably the van is probably your best and only means of getting out of here.
Okay, I'm getting in the van.
Plus, the trees are darn uncomfortable.
They're dirty, too.
They're going to tear your clothes.
She's not that clumsy. Looks at too agility.
It's the trees. Are you kidding me?
She can also float.
Only if she wants to get shot at.
Okay, I'll go find the van.
Yeah, I think the van has already started to pull out onto the main road when you come zipping up in through the air.
Yeah, if I see that the big flying vehicle is...
Yeah, it's closing extremely fast.
I think that we leave, and then Cecile just has to be...
As fast as possible.
Quick, abandon Cecile! I mean, what?
As you guys are racing away, you see a flare of light back in the direction of the farmhouse, as if, well, probably as if a bomb had gone off.
I'm glad we got the file.
What the heck?
Oh, he's dead, isn't he?
He dead.
Oh, hold on, let me say that. Let me put that in Nightingale's words.
That's...
What just happened?
I can't be sure, but I think that it was... How the fuck? Who the fuck?
Steel's gonna stop floating and just slump on the floor of the van.
I mean, I think DeAndre just, like, looks out and goes, like, you get about 7 inches, 6, 7 inches to a foot of concrete in him and the foundation, so maybe he's alive. Maybe he got well the humanist polyglot people deserve.
If we saw the flash, then he's fine. It's when you don't and only see smoke, that's when you have to worry.
That was way too intense.
Oh, it was too intense for you, huh?
Oh, that's just a stroll in the park for us.
I'm about ready for now.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Grace in the van too?
Yes.
The van that had bullets going through it?
The bullets didn't actually go through it.
It never got hit.
Wait, they didn't even penetrate?
They didn't hit at all.
They didn't hit the van at all. The van was completely untouched. It was only Grimm's drone there.
I was under the impression that the bullets were going through the van.
That sounds like something that she would assume.
Have faith in the new guy.
Well, or at least his van.
Yeah, his ride.
His ride.
Dan the van, actually.
Dan the van. All right. You guys successfully retrieved the file, or you think you did.
I think once we're, like, sufficiently enough away, D'Andre does hand the cred stick to Seal and just, like, lays down in the boot of the car and goes to sleep.
Cecile will, after, like, a good full hour, probably check the file, see what's on it.
It's pay data. It's the pay data that you've been looking for all. It's the entire story of how Jaden Price, the guy in the house, helped Diana replace her biological daughter with an adopted daughter that Jaden helped her buy from a group of human smugglers in the Barrens, and how they dumped the biological daughter who had become a troll, or not a troll, an orc in the Barrens, expecting her to die out there.
Does it mention Kirill Petrov at all?
It does not. In fact, it explicitly says that Kirill Petrov was unaware of this, that Diana basically orchestrated this behind Kirill Petrov's back.
He says, I'm going to lie about this now.
I'm going to alter this pay data now.
I hate that you're right. The first thing that went through my mind was, okay, find, replace Diana Petrov with Kirill.
There'd be an edit log, though.
So basically, you know, Jaden Price was one of the original Shadow Riders. And between George Van Housen and Kirill Petrov, they set up Warehouse Alliance to make money and launder the money that they had gained as Shadow Riders. So then when Diana and Kirill Petrov's daughter turned into an orc, Diana Petrov apparently had a very visceral reaction to that, which also explains her sort of humanist leanings that you guys have detected. And she organized, she figured out, she used Jaden security contacts and knowledge of the underworld to help her make the switch. And from the file you get that he's been basically using the existence of the file to blackmail, not blackmail Diana, but keep her at a distance, and he's using it as a shield because he figured that she'd get rid of it.
Okay. Think about what Cecile thinks about this when she isn't quietly having a panic attack.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you've got the entire smoking gun. You've got all of the evidence that Kirill Petrov was involved with Warehouse Alliance and the Shadow Riders and all of the nefarious dreck that was going on at Warehouse Alliance, as well as the fact that they dumped his biological daughter in the Barrens and replaced her with another person.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to the Hard Knock Sorority podcast to use such names, logos, artwork, marks, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with the Hard Knock Sorority podcast in any official capacity whatsoever. The music for the Hard Knock Sorority podcast was written and performed by Trace Mineral. The Hard Knock Sorority podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons License 4.0, meaning you are welcome to use the material as long as you give us credit. Clear her name.